And now, time to read your letters. Here to lend a hand is NPR producer and editor Christopher Johnson. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, Farai. How you doing?
I am good. What's up with letters?
Well, last Friday, we commemorated the 40th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s death. We ran a story that featured voices from different political experts and scholars reflecting on the day King was killed. Here's how author and theologian Michael Eric Dyson remembered that day.
I was sitting in front of the television watching the regular program when the newsman interrupted and in a kind of somber monotone announced that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had been shot in Memphis, Tennessee. And behind me, my father ejaculated this, you know, as if someone had punched him in the gut, an involuntary verbal response that testified to the magnitude of that news.
Letitia Thomas heard that one up in Buffalo, New York, and she wrote to say this. Normally, I can tolerate Professor Dyson's verbal pretentiousness, but he needs a serious whooping for his telling of his Dr. King assassination remembrance. Dyson shared his father's reaction, saying, "Behind me, my father ejaculated this oomph." That word choice was uncalled for. Dr. Dyson needs to go somewhere and sit down with a thesaurus.
And on Monday, I spoke with Marine Major General Walter Gaskin, one of the highest-ranking African-Americans in the U.S. military. Gaskin headed the 25,000-member multinational forces west. He returned home earlier this year. Brad Patu listened in from San Francisco and sent us this note. "I can't believe you did not challenge the validity and credibility of General Gaskin's rah-rah statements on the Iraq War. General Gaskin is obviously a mouthpiece for the Bush administration and its policies. His denial of the real situation in Iraq, as they are presented by the overwhelming majority of witnesses, was breathtaking. Generally, I think you do an excellent job of asking tough questions of your interviewees. However, you gave General Gaskin a free ride. What was up with that?" Well, Brad, thanks for the letter. I don't think I gave General Gaskin a free ride. And if you listen to some of the other folks we've had on, as you obviously have, they include Donna Shalala, Delbert Spurlock, individual service people and veterans. We definitely opened the door to people who have different and sometimes highly critical perspectives on the war.
And last week we heard from Dr. Leslie Stewart. She talked about the extraordinary prevalence of uterine fibroids in Black women. Annette Austin in Fayetteville, North Carolina, tuned in, and Annette writes, "The segment with Dr. Stewart was extremely informative. I'm an African-American female in my mid-30s, and I've had one large mass removed surgically. I'm on the verge of having another procedure in an 8-month time frame. Knowing your options enables you to be better equipped to deal with this issue. Thanks for talking about it."
Here's a letter from listener Spencer Quinn about the tone of News and Notes. "I love NPR and listen to it religiously, but every time I hear your program, I just want to scream. It seems like it's just one big forum to talk about how much it sucks to be African American in our society. Maybe there are some difficulties, but can we hear some positives too? I am also a member of a minority group, but I don't define myself by my minority status. I just get along with my life." Well, Spencer, we are glad you wrote, and part of our mission is to focus on issues that other media generally don't. As a result, we examine issues of race, equity, disparity a lot. So are we whining or just telling the truth? That's up to you and other listeners to decide. That said, you'll also hear plenty of stories that fall into categories like news you can use, history, and stories of success and triumph. If you have something you want to hear us cover, just drop us a line.
And finally, this one from Paris Hatcher in Atlanta. "I love News and Notes. However, it seems like for the last 3 or 4 Thursday listener feedback responses, only the stories of white folks and non-black folks who love the show are read. It sounds and feels that attempts are being made to substantiate how great the show is because unassuming white folks listen to it. Let's hear the feedback from brothers and sisters."
Thanks for that letter, Paris. You know that News and Notes has fam from San Diego to Spain, even Japan. And when we get the love, we talk about it no matter where or who it comes from. In my opinion, we get a lot of interaction on our blog from our black listeners, but not quite as much in letters. That's just my perspective. So if you want your voice heard, give us a shout.
Well, brothers and sisters, that's it for letters, but please keep yours coming.
To write us, just log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. When you get there, you'll see lots of shows to choose from. Make sure you pick News and Notes when you write to us, and be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. So, Christopher, thanks.
Farai, my sister, anytime.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Yes,
That's our show for today, and thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, an update on Zimbabwe's ongoing election crisis. Plus, we'll hear how South Florida's Haitian community is responding to the news of deadly food riots on the island. Radio, suckers never play me.